praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org. or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. When all is said and done, in the human life, there are really only two basic items that we have to be concerned with. Number one, our possessions. And number two, ourselves. To become poor is to lose all our possessions. And to become a slave is to lose ourselves. In Israel, in ancient times, all the families were given a rich portion of the land, but the foolish or the unfortunate ones might be forced to sell off their possessions in order to continue to provide food. And eventually, they may be forced even to sell themselves into slavery if they were to continue to eat. Yet the Lord made a way for these suffering ones to be released from their captivity and to be released to return back to their portion of the land. This way was called the Jubilee. The Jubilee is an important part of the New Testament as well, as we will discover in the next few programs of this Life Study of Luke. Francis Ball today has joined us for our first review program, I would say, on the matter of Jubilee. Welcome back, Francis.
Thank you, Chris. It's always good to be with you and have this time of fellowship.
We saw, Francis, that there are really four main topics in the Gospel of Luke. And in these days, we're coming back to review these four primary items. We come now to the second one, and that is the matter of Jubilee. We've just had a few programs on the first, which was, of course, the matter of incarnation. But now we come to Jubilee. It's introduced in Luke in chapter 4. And that is where the Lord Jesus stood at the beginning of his ministry. And he stood in the synagogue and announced, more or less, that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Jubilee. This is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and send away in release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee." Francis, in this announcement, the Lord was quoting from Isaiah, but the first mention of Jubilee really is in Leviticus, isn't it?
Yes, you find out in Leviticus, the Jubilee portrayed there, the main thought is how to take care of people's living. In other words, the basic concern is man's enjoyment. The primary enjoyment in human life is to be filled with good food. A person whose stomach is empty will not appreciate money or material riches. He would rather have food to fill his stomach. So you can see that to be satisfied with food would cause people even to sell off their possessions and become poor. And in some cases, as you mentioned, some would become so poor that they even have to sell themselves as slaves in order to be able to eat. So it's really interesting to see in the Old Testament this matter of the land being given to the people, proportioned to the people of Israel, in the way that it was, under God's sovereignty and with God's provision, so that each one had that kind of possession whereby he could feed himself.
Right.
But if he was not willing to labor on the land and to provide something there, he eventually would become very poor. And even would, as I mentioned, sell himself to become a slave in order that he might eat. So it really shows that these two things, the persons themselves and their possessions, are the two matters that are concerned here in this matter of the Jubilee. And the Jubilee is just the announcing. Actually, it was the 50th year. Every 50 years, there was a time set aside when every man among the Israelites would be returned to their possessions. It doesn't mean their possessions were returned to them only. It means they were returned. They themselves were returned to their possessions. And they were brought out of slavery, and they were brought to preserve their own self and their own enjoyment. This was a provision that was announced by the blowing of a silver trumpet. And that trumpet was just Christ himself being announced. He is the real Jubilee. And in this age, this is the age of Jubilee. This whole period of time from the Lord's resurrection throughout the present time is the year of Jubilee for all of us who have been slaves, sold under sin, and have been lost our possessions. This is the year when we can be brought back to our possessions and be brought out of slavery. I think we'll see this in Brother Lee's message.
We will. And Francis, these verses that we read in Luke chapter 4 really was the blowing of the silver trumpet, wasn't it?
Yes, that's it.
Well, let's join Witness Lee with the first portion, and then I'm looking forward to the opportunity to come back and you and I have more fellowship here.
I'd like just to give you the definition of Jubilee. Jubilee is a Hebrew word. The word simply means shouting, blowing, blasting. Then in the practice, and this blasting or blowing refers to the blasting of a silver trumpet. It's quite meaningful. We know in typology, silver always refers to redemption. So this is a kind of shouting of God's redemption. This is the basic thought of this matter of Jubilee. What is Jubilee? A Jubilee is a sounding out of God's redemption.
Amen.
Have you got it?
Amen.
This sounding out is a kind of a proclaiming. Proclaiming what? Not proclaiming any commandment, not proclaiming any kind of a requirement, no. But it only proclaims the release, the freedom of two things. You just consider concerning a human being. What are the main two things? Have you ever thought about it? The main two things is number one, yourself. And the number two is your possessions. Right? According to the histories of all the ancient countries, if you are going to reign or rule over people, firstly, you have to feed them. If you have no food to feed them, you are through. All the politicians, they have to find a way how to improve the people's living. Right? I tell you, in Jubilee, as a type, the main thought is how to take care of people's living. In other words, how to take care of people's enjoyment. Jubilee, humanly speaking, is just to take care of your stomach, to take care of eating.
Well, in typical fashion, he has reduced things to their most elementary and clear state, hasn't he, Francis?
Well, that's the truth, isn't it?
When all has been said and done, if we don't have food on our table, it really doesn't matter what else we possess.
It
doesn't matter too much. Francis, I thought that his word here about even politicians and world governments, they're all really based on this. I think it was, I can't remember for sure, I think it was Napoleon that said even with an army, the key to his army was through their stomach. The way to gain the loyalty of his soldiers was through their stomachs. The Lord didn't miss this point either, did he?
No, that's right. And that's what he really provided for us in this, what we call the Jubilee here. It's really Christ himself in this age. He is our Jubilee. And he is our food, and he has restored us to our possession. God created man and gave him possession, that is, gave him God himself. But man didn't know how to handle this, and instead he got deceived and got turned away, and he ended up in slavery. So to announce the Jubilee here means to announce the gospel of redemption, how Christ is our redemption. He has sounded the silver trumpet, and this is to be proclaimed everywhere because this is the time of the Jubilee when people can be returned to their possessions and their possessions can be restored to them. This really fits, Chris, I think, with the thought we've had many times and more recently of Christ being the good land.
Yes.
You know, the land was proportioned out to the Israelite. That's a picture. Christ is proportioned to us for our enjoyment. And now that enjoyment has been restored to us, even though we were lost, we were in slavery. The Jubilee came to us by the sounding of the silver trumpet, that is, by the redemption of Christ. We've been brought back to our possessions of enjoyment of Christ, and we have the good land as our portion now, so we have plenty of food to eat, and we have freedom from our sin and from our slavery.
Let's look at a couple of these verses, Francis. Really one verse in Leviticus 25, as we prepare to go back to Witness Lee. In chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return to his possession." And this was a point you made earlier that will be developed in this coming portion. It's not so much that our lost possessions are returned to us, but we're returned to our possession.
Yes, right.
Very interesting, and that's significant as we'll find out in this portion just ahead.
God was not a politician, but he gave his people an ordinance. Firstly, he gave them a good land. And each tribe allotted the land to the families. So every family has a piece of possession. For what purpose? Not mainly for the living, the lodging, but mainly for the eating. Lodging is not so important as eating. So land is for eating. This is why in the Bible it said the good land is the land of steel and copper? No. God created the land not for man to have gold, but for man to have food. Am I right? The land is for food. So the good land of Canaan is called the land of milk and honey. Yeah. Suppose here's the family, and they have a lot of land, so they have two things. They have themselves, and they have the land. But they don't work. They don't labor on the land. They don't know how to labor on the land, but they know how to sell the land. In all the other countries outside Israel, when the land is sold, it is sold. It's sold forever. But in Israel, God's ordination doesn't allow you to sell the land for eternity. You could only sell it the most for 50 years. When the Jubilee comes, the Bible says you return to the possession. Eventually, it will not be the land that comes back to you, but you that goes back to land. It's kind of meaningful. Not only so, listen. You only have two things as a man. You have your possession, you have yourself. Firstly, you sold your possession, then still you will not behave. And this forces you to sell yourself. You become a slave. You sell yourself into slavery. Of course, according to Leviticus 25, you still have the right to redeem yourself. But as you have sold yourself into slavery, how could you make the money to redeem yourself? It's impossible. But a Jubilee year will come. The land got released, and the slaves also got released.
Francis, in the final portion ahead, we're going to talk a little bit about this matter of the person being sold and being lost. But let's come back to this matter of the possession and the person being returned to the possession as an aspect of the Jubilee. This is meaningful and significant if we really understand what the possession is here, isn't it?
Yes, it really is, and it's a very important point that we don't want to pass over too lightly, because the possession that God gave to man is really the land for Israel, and that was a picture, like all of Israel is a picture of today's church.
Right.
If they know how to take care of it, then they raise the food that they need, and they even have a way to have something to offer to God in their worship. So I think if we really apply this to our own situation, we realize that We had by right as God's creatures, and as God's love was with us, He was so willing to let us have all the riches that He provided for us, but we don't know how to use them. We have human life, we have certain amount of things that we can do, certain amount of ability, but we don't know how to use it. So our failures and our weaknesses and our selfishness and all this thing creeps out and takes advantage of it, so we're left poor. We don't have any way to utilize the land, so we sell it. In other words, we let it go. Let it go even to an enemy.
Right.
And whoever buys it, that they have it, but we don't have it. But praise the Lord, in the type here, that was a limited time that the purchaser would get it. There is a way for that man, even though in his weakness and his failure, to get back the land. That was the year of Jubilee. So we have a Jubilee, and that Jubilee is Christ Himself. He is the silver trumpet sounding out this redemption to all the world.
Of course, God initially, even in Genesis, presented Himself to man to be man's food, as typified by the tree of life, but all of that was lost to man, or we were lost to it due to sin. So the being restored to our land implies being restored back to God and back to our enjoyment of Him as our real spiritual food, isn't it?
That's really a deeper point, because that really goes back to the very beginning, that man had that opportunity, but he failed. He went another way. He took another source.
Well, let's come to this matter of the slavery, this aspect. A couple of verses help us here to develop this thought a bit more, and we're going to pick it up in the final segment today. In Romans chapter 7, verse 14, Paul said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshy, sold under sin." Paul acknowledging here that all of us have been sold into slavery to sin. And Ephesians 2:12 brings up this matter of our being removed from God as our portion. 2:12 says that you were at that time apart from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Francis, that's all of our condition before we're saved, isn't it?
Oh, my. That is such a vivid description of our condition.
Let's go back to Witness Lee as we continue to enjoy the Jubilee.
When we were created, we all got the lot of our possession. And you know what is our possession? Our possession is just God Himself. God created man to be His vessel for His expression. So God intended to give Himself as man's possession. But man got fallen. In man's fall, man lost God. Man lost his possession. Man also has sold himself. Even Paul tells us in Romans 7 that he has been sold to sin. To be sold means what? Means to be held in slavery. All the man can today is in slavery. You know, before we got saved, we were these kind of persons. Ephesians 2 says, today, the fallen mankind living on this earth does not have God. That means, does not have any possession. A fallen man is one who lost his possession and who sold himself. Now, in Luke chapter 4, the Lord read to them a portion from Isaiah, which was a prophecy on the actual Jubilee. And there in the synagogue, by reading that portion of the scripture, the Lord proclaimed. He sounded the trumpet. He proclaimed Jubilee.
Amen.
You know what is preaching the gospel? Actually, the sounding of Jubilee. To proclaim the release.
Amen.
Actually, not the release of a possession to you, but actually the release of you to your possession.
Amen.
And the release of you back to your family. You are now in the wrong family, in family of slavery. You have to return to your house, the house of God. Jubilee is a proclaiming of this wonderful release of our possession back to us and release ourselves back to God, back to our family.
Francis, as he was just describing the Lord's proclamation of the Jubilee, his spirit got noticeably released and strengthened. This surely would have been how the Lord would have announced the Jubilee. And I can imagine, against the backdrop of the Israelites and their situation, for him to be saying to them he was the Jubilee had a lot of impact and a lot of meaning. This was a striking note that was sounded by this silver trumpet.
Yeah, you really get that feeling from chapter 4 of this book,
right,
where he announced the Jubilee.
What about his point here about being returned back to our possession and back to our real family? This was interesting.
Yeah, you know, the verse that came to my mind was Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So here you get both the returning back to Christ and getting to enjoy him as the good land. That means he's all-inclusive. He meets every need we have. We need food. He's our food. We need a house. He's our house.
Right.
So if you see this in this implication here of back to their family, you realize that this is talking about the corporate living of the Christian life. That's back to our family. We're not come back to orphanage, but we've come back to our family.
Right.
What a jubilee. Ever since Christ stood and said, "The Spirit of God is upon me and has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's the year that we're in now. This whole period of time since the resurrection of Christ,
right,
all this is the Jubilee that we're enjoying today. He's our good land. So to feed on him and to be restored back to the house of God, the family of God, this is too wonderful.
This is the real Jubilee that we are in today. You're right, Francis. Of course, in the coming age, this Jubilee will intensify, we'll see, before we're finished with these review messages on the matter of Jubilee. But this is the real gospel. And whenever the gospel is preached, that is a gospel, a full gospel, the silver trumpet sounds afresh, and people are struck deep in their inner part of their being, realizing that they are in slavery, that they are in the wrong family, the family of slaves and slavery, and that they're starving and hungry. And all of that is taken care of in the proper Jubilee. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. If you want to write to us, it's Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to radio@lsm.org. We'd love to hear from you in these days when we're wrapping up the life study of Luke to see if it's meant as much to you as it has to us. We've enjoyed every one of these messages. Call us, and I'll leave you with a toll-free number one more time. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's all the time we have, Francis. Thank you for being here again today.
Thank you for this fellowship.
And we'll have you back very soon, I'm sure.
Very good.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.
What does it really mean to be born again?
Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 3. To be born anew is to be born from above, from heaven. That is to be born from God who is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It is a divine realm to be entered into, a realm that requires the divine life. Only the divine life can realize the divine things. Hence, for one to see or to enter into the kingdom of God requires that he be regenerated with the divine life. Scripture, John 3, verse 3, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version, published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.